We begin this week with one result of how the business of medicine is putting new and more complex demands on physicians. After all those years of undergrad, the medical school, and specialty training after that, an increasing number of doctors are putting themselves back into school once again, and this time it's business school. My first guest is an associate professor of strategy and entrepreneurship at the Kelly School of Business at Indiana University. Todd Saxton says that doctors who've enrolled in the Business of Medicine MBA tend to fall into one of three categories.
They're the leaders. These are folks that have moved into administrative responsibility and want more of the tools and training and the language to be able to better lead their organizations, whether that's a practice or a hospital system. Second group I think of as kind of the protectors. These are folks that may not be in an administrative or leadership position, but are dealing with people that are challenging them to cut costs, and that's a recurring refrain that they hear often. And they feel they don't have the tools to kind of push back and protect the sacred doctor-patient relationship and some of the pieces of the system that are really fundamental to good healthcare. So being able to protect what is good and valued in the wake of face of all of these changes is, I think, something that's important to a second category. And then the third group, I call the adventurers, and I like all of them. These are probably my favorite, and they're looking for getting involved in the venture community or some kind of new activity. And other folks that are entrepreneurs that want to start their own either practice or life science or other type of venture. And this is an opportunity to develop the toolkit to expand in new directions. A number of particularly life science ventures would kill for the chance to talk to a real doctor and get their insight in their particular disease state over what they're looking for, what problems they face, and have access to that kind of thought leadership on a medical advisory board or something along those lines. So this is an opportunity for them to connect with folks like that. And then there are those that have entrepreneurial interests, either, as I mentioned, starting their own practice, maybe breaking out and doing something different or consulting around their current area or field, but also expand into new terrain, invent a new device or even something outside of healthcare. So it's really interesting to see the diversity. I think there's a tendency to say, well, if they're physicians, it must be kind of a new hip or a new molecule for curing cancer. But the reality is they have the same consumer interests that we all do, right? So they see the trends in other areas of life and have those interests as well.
What other industries really resonate with physicians who are getting an MBA?
As you can imagine, it varies a lot depending on which of those three groups.
Yeah.
So I think for the adventurers, for those folks that are looking to branch out, they are delighted to be exposed to a wide swath of industries. We've talked about food entrepreneurship. We've talked about internet and technology types of ventures, and they seem to have a high appetite for that. But I think all of them seem to have an appreciation that there are lessons to be learned from both good and bad organizations in all industries. And part of the problem with healthcare is it's been a little bit insulated from competition, but also learnings from other types of markets. So the opportunity to kind of bring in some of the lessons from other industries and see where they might apply or how they can be altered to apply in a healthcare setting, I think they find to be of great value.
Now, is this the result of healthcare reform?
I would say a significant component is the need and desire for this kind of training. It probably would have been hard to staff a full cohort prior to. But these are changes in interest that I would argue have been around for physicians for a long time. And there are a relatively small number of programs that are physician-only MBA-style programs. This is a broader-based MBA not focused on healthcare. We want them to see and learn from business models in other industries, which is a little different from an MHA or other types of programs that other folks might participate in.
Mm-hmm. What about the flexibility of the classes? Because I'm thinking some specialties have very unpredictable hours.
Yeah, and that's a real challenge for them and for the program. It's really important for us to maintain the same kind of rigor in our program and curriculum that we have in other Kelly programs. So The program is structured as 2 days a month. They come in typically for Friday and Saturday, and those days are kind of sacrosanct. It's really important that they be here and be present during that. So they have to clear the schedule. They have to find someone else to take call, et cetera. Now, certainly the cell phones are going off and the emergency calls are coming up and they're having to leave the room for a short period of time. And we've had a few conflicts where folks can't make it. But for the most part, we've had 95% of plus attendance at the in-residence sessions and also very good attendance in the hybrid or online components that we do in off weeks.
What do they tell you about how difficult or easy it is? Because they've gone through medical school and residency and they've been going to school for quite a while, but it sounds like a lot of them are reentering, you know, in middle age.
Yes. So it's a great and interesting question and a couple surprises to me, at least, and I think to my colleagues in delivering material in the program. One component is the lack of ego. I think we were expecting a little more contention and competition in the classroom for voice and a little more one-upsmanship. But it's an extremely collegial group across the two cohorts I've worked with, and they're very interested in learning from each other without really seeing much ego come into it at all, which is a really interesting, I think, and pleasant kind of experience to work with these folks. And they're very bright, but they also really care about grades, which at this stage surprised me a little bit, I have to say. But at least many of them, that's still a strong driver, and it's interesting to see how they approach a different kind of learning, because obviously this kind of training is different, both the quantitative aspects, finance, economics, et cetera, but also some of the other fields like marketing and strategy, which I cover, where they're thinking in very different ways. So what they bring is a tremendous amount of intellectual horsepower and a real interest in learning how to translate concepts, but a lack of familiarity sometimes with not only the terms, but also more of the conceptual skills, thinking more broadly about market evolution and the place of the organization within an evolving marketplace. And that's something that hopefully the program is offering, but I think they're learning a lot from each other as well.
You're listening to Sound Medicine. I'm Barbara Lewis. I'm speaking with Professor Todd Saxton of the IU Kelly School of Business, and we're talking about the growing number of doctors who are enrolling in MBA programs. So how does the learning take place? I mean, do doctors work in teams to solve hypothetical business problems? Do business classes really kind of force them to think in a new way?
I think that's the pedagogy is really driven a lot by the specific functional area. So in accounting and finance, for example, there might be a lot more individual work or teamwork that then kind of culminates in them individually having to show mastery of certain concepts. In strategy, at least, and I believe in marketing as well, operations, there's more of a team effort to jointly kind of put their heads together and solve problems that may be case-based or more theoretical in nature. But then we also have exercises where we are asking them to kind of connect the concepts back to either their own organizations or at least their own context to kind of say, okay, now this model might work for a Fortune 500 firm, but how does it translate to a hospital setting? So I have a section I try and work in at least every 20 to 30 minutes, a lost and found in translation kind of segment where they have a chance to say, I just don't understand how these concepts can possibly apply to my hospital. And then as a group, we kind of talk through what pieces can you use and how can you use those. And fortunately, they often bail me out. I don't have to come up with the answers because many of their colleagues are already ahead of that in terms of thinking through how to incorporate those terms.
We talked about the benefits for the physicians, but is it good for the healthcare system to have a bunch of doctors with more business savvy?
Absolutely.
Okay.
I'm a business school professor, right?
Yeah, what are you going to say, right?
Everybody should. No, but seriously, I think, again, part of it is bringing in models from other industries. We've had a real discontinuous shock here, right, from healthcare reform. So new models, new ways of thinking about providing healthcare, being more sensitive to the customer and how to market to the customer, being the patient or there are kind of multiple stakeholders, as I'm sure you know, in the healthcare system. So better understanding the competing interests and how to reconcile those and develop sustainable models for addressing those problems. All of that, I think, is incredibly valuable. And frankly, I too am concerned about physicians being, for lack of a better word, kind of bullied by administrators who are throwing around profitability and cost cutting as if those are the solutions and the only solutions to the problems in healthcare. Again, it has to be a broader conversation. I think it really has to continue to protect the doctor-patient relationship. Physicians, I think very differently and behave very differently as some other professional service kinds of organizations about the organization, about their kind of prime directive versus someone who works in a much larger machine shop, for example, or automotive firm. So again, reconciling kind of business models and leadership approaches in the context of healthcare requires a lot of nuance, and I think a lot of understanding of human behavior, again, some of those conceptual skills. And hopefully this is training that can help them look for productive solutions. So we may often start conversations with everyone chiming in on how bad their organization is or how badly they do certain things. But one of the goals of my own approach, but certainly the program overall, is to try and turn that around to say, okay, so what are some small things we can do to fix that, to start moving things in a more positive direction?
So you're not just teaching a good defense.
Right, exactly.
In some ways.
Yes, exactly. And enabling them to be better change agents. This is something that I think we've discovered through the first year and a half of the program, is that if all we're doing is equipping them with tools to kind of recognize what's wrong and not enabling them to be better change agents, we're just creating a lot of frustrated alumni in our program. And that's not the objective, certainly. It is to enable these folks to be contributors to the dialogue and to a new approach to healthcare.
Do you think the patient will see the impact of a doctor who has an MBA?
I certainly hope so. Now, that may be a further down the road kind of transition, but I have to say, even in the short run, we hear anecdotes of changes in behavior almost immediately in terms of their own approach to patients and the kind of dialogue they have and understanding when they walk into a room and the patient's frustrated and sitting there with their arms crossed saying, you know, been here for 45 minutes, instead of just kind of saying, yeah, right, whatever, show me your wound. It's kind of, okay, we should be concerned about that, right? That's a systemic problem, and we may even have some tools to start to address that.
Todd Saxton, it has been a pleasure talking with you. Thank you so much.
Thank you very much. I appreciate the opportunity and been great to talk to you.
Todd Saxton is an associate professor of strategy and entrepreneurship at the Indiana University Kelly School of Business. And we've posted several links about the trend of MD MBAs. We'll post them on our website. Just go to soundmedicine.org.